Grant and Danny with you until 6:30 on the Fan. We are all over D.C. on our flagship 106.7. We are in Richmond on AM 910 and FM 105.1. You can listen wherever you are on the Odyssey app. Crystal clear audio. Take it with you on the go. Pause and rewind the show. We are also broadcasting live on video in high definition on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. The DMV's football team is a bright future. It's time for you to plan yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Condori & Murad. They will help you update your last will and testament. They will set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Beltway Blitz in 1 hour. At that time, we'll give away Caps tickets for a game next week against the Penguins. That is
Boo.
A ticket everybody wants. You better be listening to G&D. Danny, someone explained to me we could go Commanders or NFL here. One of our favorite semi-regular segments on the show. You get the honor of starting.
Somebody explain to me, quick deviation from this, if I may, why the only punishment for these two horses' asses that grabbed Mookie Betts' person and committed a borderline assault only have to not go to game five. It needs to be a stiffer penalty. We'll talk about this more later.
We will. Someone explain to me why any benching of a young quarterback is seen as malpractice. Why any time an NFL team with more intel than you have and I have benches one of their young quarterbacks, they're quitting on the guy, they're doing a disservice to the player, they should be ashamed. There is a difference between benching someone who looks like he's got a future and someone who is not playable, not startable. Bryce Young had been so bad for the Panthers, it wasn't good for his development, and it certainly wasn't good for the organization to continue to play him. I think we all know what it looks like when a guy doesn't have a clue.
Yep.
When he doesn't have a chance. When it is broken. When your receivers and your line and your running backs and everything about your operation and your outfit is worse because the quarterback is holding you back. The Panthers make the move. Everybody kills them for it. How dare them give up on the guy? They become an immediately better team. He goes and sits for a little while. They work with him behind the scenes. And he looked a little bit better here recently when we got to see him. Now the new one is Anthony Richardson. We don't know if that guy shows up on time. We don't know what kind of worker he is behind the scenes. We don't know if he's getting fined for not being in the meeting or being on time or the leader that is the first one in and the last one out. We don't know anything. All we know is that he's played really, really badly. And that when he wasn't on the field, Joe Flacco was really, really good. And this idea that they have to stick with him because they drafted him in the top five and just keep playing him and losing, but yet you're going to be calling for Shane Steichen's head. You're going to be calling for Chris Ballard's head. You're going to want people fired when they lose because they're playing the guy that you're making them play that obviously right now can't do it. Someone explain that to me.
Somebody explain to me how Russell Wilson is good. We saw it, didn't we? He got benched in Denver because he was terrified to throw the ball beyond like 6 or 7 feet away from the line of scrimmage. The numbers weren't terrible, but if you saw, you knew, right? The year before in Seattle, the numbers were bad. It looked like he needed the change of scenery. It looked like he needed to become a different player altogether with how much he struggled at times there and then in Denver. And somehow, he's playing his best football in, what, probably 4 years? Since 2020, when he threw for 40 tutties and 13 picks and was an MVP candidate. He was great that year. It looked like that Russell Wilson didn't exist anymore. Now maybe it does? Question mark?
Someone explained to me why it took until this week for Josh Allen to overtake Patrick Mahomes in MVP odds. The Bills are 6-2. Josh Allen's doing it with a completely remade wide receiver core. His top wide receiver at the moment over the last couple of weeks is a guy they just drafted who's a bit of a project despite being an early round pick. Josh Allen has 14 touchdowns and one interception so far this season. 14 touchdowns to one pick. Patrick Mahomes has 8 touchdowns and 9 interceptions and went into play this past week as the front runner for MVP because the Chiefs, led by their defense, are 7-0. Someone explain to me why Allen, with a 14-1 tutty to pick ratio, the team being 6-2, 64% of his passes complete, a team that is better offensively than defensively, is finally now just at the midway point of the season getting to a point where he's the leader in the MVP race at 3-1. Some books have him and Lamar Jackson tied at the top of the board. I have no issue with that. Lamar's been incredible. You got to explain to me how it was Patrick Mahomes until this week, when frankly, he's just not playing that well.
Speaking of that guy, I need someone to take a few minutes and explain to me how the Chiefs are 7-0 with a guy that leads the league in interceptions, with a team that has had 5 one-score games. And if you follow the Major League Baseballs, if you follow the hockeys, if you follow the basketball, if you play games that are within one score, sometimes, every once in a while, that other team has more than you do. It happens. It's sports. Doesn't change the fact that they're champs and they're going back to the AFC title game again because they do that every single year they've had Pat Mahomes. How is this team 7-0? As limited as they are, as oftentimes as they have struggled, I know that defense is really good. You don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm saying they shouldn't be 7-0, and here they are.
Someone explain to me how the Jets are this bad. I did not think they were a Super Bowl contender. If you remember before the season, I was not a big proponent about having them even, you know, winning their own division or maybe even making the playoffs. I don't understand how they are 2-6. I do not get how they've lost 5 straight games. I don't remember a team, Danny, with this much talent that is this close week in and week out and constantly finds ways to lose. They lost to the Broncos 10-9. They lost a one-possession game to the Vikings. They lost to the Bills by a field goal in a game it looked like they might win for much of the contest. They lost to the Patriots on a touchdown in the final minute with 22 seconds to play. How? This team was 4-4 last year with Zach Wilson as their quarterback. Now you've got Aaron Rodgers, who has not been great by any means, but I don't think he's been terrible either. And certainly in their 2 losses the last couple of weeks, I don't think he's been awful. And they still can't find a way to win. Now they play the Texans with their season on the line. They're already cooked. They are done. They are dead. You can hang them out to dry. But mathematically speaking, I think you're a loss against Houston away from just having to burn the boats. I mean, it is over at that point.
Will someone explain to me how the Denver Broncos have won 5 of their last 6? Remember, they started 0-2. They were 0-2. That means no wins and 2 losses. They're 5-3 now. Do some quick math. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop. That's 5-1 over their last 6 games. Now, I know they've played a fairly easy schedule as far as those things go, and they lost to the Chargers in a 1-score game. How is this happening? How are they doing this? How is this defense this good? 3rd fewest points allowed in the NFL. Bo Nix has run for 260 yards and 4 touchdowns. Hasn't been prolific as a passer. They don't really have a ton of great weaponry out there in Denver. But you beat some bad teams, you go to the postseason. They're a 5-3 team, having won 5 of 6. And I don't quite get it. Someone explain.
Someone explain to me how the NFC West is this bad. The front runners are all 4-4. 3-way tie. Arizona Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks. 3 teams, 500 records, tied for the top of the division. And 3-4 LA, who we left for dead, who we said would be trading Cooper Kupp and looking to shop Matthew Stafford. That was the big rumor, right? Never made any sense, but that was the thing that was out there last week. They beat the Vikings on Thursday Night Football. They're back within a game of 500. They're back within a half game of first place. What happened to this division? Where the 49ers were supposed to be the best team in the NFC, where the Cardinals were supposed to have been an upstart playoff caliber team, where Seattle with Geno Smith playing well, new head coach who was defensive-minded, was going to be a wild card team. And maybe that still happens. They haven't been terrible. But everybody is extremely average in that division. And it just seems like more than any other division, Danny, week to week, the NFC West, you never know what you're going to get out of those teams.
Someone explain to me how the week's 3-8 Saints only outscored the Weeks 1-2 Saints by 3 points. The Saints had 91 points through 2 games, 45.5 per game, according to my mathematics. They've scored 94 points since then, combined in 6 straight losses. I get the second part. They ain't good. They've been bad. They've needed to retool or blow the whole thing up for a while. They kind of limped along. It's a bad cap situation. They need to blow it up and start all over again. How in the hairy hell did that team that's turned in this over the last 6 weeks score 91 points through 2 games? Someone explain to me.
Someone explain to me, how good are the Baltimore Ravens? Everyone wants to tell me they're a Super Bowl contender, and they certainly feel like it when you watch them play a good team and beat them. They felt like the day Washington went to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
They got a potential three-time MVP when this dust settles on this season in Lamar Jackson, who's playing the best football of his career for the most part. They lost to the Raiders in a game they led by 10 in the fourth quarter. This past week, they lost to the Cleveland Browns, led by Jameis Winston. Someone's got to explain to me how they can look as good as they do in the first half against Dallas and as bad as they did in the second half in that game. Someone explain to me how a week after they beat the Buffalo Bills by 25, they need a Bengals snafu on special teams to beat a Cincinnati team that has struggled all year long. That they can hang 41 on the Bucks and then 6 days later struggle to fend off the Cleveland Browns and lose a game on the road at a bad team. And if they are that topsy-turvy, inconsistent, undulating up down, are they really who we think they are?
Somebody, do me a favor. Explain to me why nobody seems concerned at all that the Detroit Lions, who are very good, by the way, they're probably the best team in the NFC right now, even without a defense. Nobody seems bothered or concerned at all that they're running the score up on people. Like, when you're winning games by 30 or 40 points, maybe we don't have to run the trick play where the offensive lineman throws it to a different offensive lineman. Maybe we don't have to have David Montgomery chucking it to a tight end or running some hurry-up stuff in the red zone. Maybe we can hand it off and it'll go home when everybody's quit. You're up by 40 points against the Tennessee Titans. You're dominating, and we got to make sure Jared Goff gets one more sling-in touchdown to Khalif Raymond or something like that. They're running up the score. They're doing this very Belichickian, oh, they want us just run us to not score. You got to stomp us. 52-7, you know, stomp all over mild-mannered Joe Gibbs. They're dominating people. They're really good. Why isn't anybody bothered at all about running up the score? Just seems to be a little classless. That's all.
Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert. Ben Johnson alert.
You were talking about Detroit.
Oh, Detroit points. Offense. Their offense, yeah.
I'm a little surprised by that take, if I may. I know this isn't a back-and-forth argue with each other.
It's fine. I'll allow it.
I don't take you for a, hey, leave that team you're beating alone guy in the professional ranks. Like, Sean Payton was asked. I'll get back to someone explaining to me in a second. Sean Payton was asked about the kind of play calling and the way they went about the second half against the Panthers. And essentially, did you run up the score? Do you feel bad? Whatever. And he's like, this is the NFL, dude. Play better. This is professional football. There's not a higher level. There's no running up the score in this level. I'm not saying I completely agree with that, but I am a little surprised Cowboys alone, Detroit.
No, they can mud stop the Cowboys. I mean, this past week, again, they're running hurry up with up 40, like to try to make sure they get one more touchdown.
They're getting their work in, man.
It's a little classless is what it is. I mean, like my whole view in sports is stop showing people up because it's going to come down on you at some point. Right? Like anytime you got a catchphrase, you're yelling it at people, they're going to yell it back when they beat you, and they will beat you. This game, every game, humbles you, right? So that's why you put your head down, run around the bases. That's why when you hit a single, you don't do a, look at my belly, and I'm scratching my head like I'm an orangutan in the zoo, or I got a choreographed dance where I'm thrusting at the crowd. Get on first base. Shake your hand with the coach. Just act like you've been there. But people don't do that anymore, and that's fine. But I know my proclivities are a little weird. You know, I remember when Joe Gibbs and Joe Bugel, when he was coaching the Arizona Cardinals, where Bugel got furious because Gibbs had the backup quarterback come in and like sling a ball down the field because it was going to feel good for him. He's going, you're running up the score. You're killing us by 30. What are you doing? When you're winning, there's a gentleman's agreement here. We're going to kind of, yeah, let's all get out of here intact and not get hurt. Unless you're Detroit, in which you got to get some stats, I guess.
Someone explain to me when teams are going to wise up and stop giving extra time to the uninspiring, defensive-minded head coach. Someone explain that to me. New Orleans Saints, Dennis Allen, Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus.
Eberflus.
How long are we going to give good situations, more so in Chicago right now than New Orleans, but interesting enough situations that you might have a better head coach option to come in and take over, to these defensive-minded guys that inspire no confidence or excitement because they were the guy you hired back when you did? What do you do in New Orleans, 2-6, free-falling six straight losses at this point? I mean, someone please explain to me why teams just stick by their completely unexciting, defensive-minded snooze-fest of a head coach year after year after year.
Jeep, someone explain to me, what would you say ultimately, that when it boils down to, if you're going to summarize it in one sentence, what do we do for a living?
talk.
We talk a lot. Can you explain to me why somebody who talks for a job can somehow, in the middle of talking, bite their lips so hard that I think I drew blood in there? Just now, when I was talking about running up the score.
That's going to be painful.
I got like this fang right here. See this one? Right there? I think I bit my lip with this fang right there. And then the bottom somehow pinched it while talking.
Dan Campbell. He thought it was your kneecap. He was pissed that you were calling out the Lions.
Like, what am I doing?
For playing good football.
I bit my tongue 2 weeks ago. I still feel the ghost of that one. I just bit my lip so hard. How does that happen?
Last one for me. Someone explain to me why anyone thought that Jacksonville was the next great team in the AFC last year. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So two seasons ago, go back two full playoffs ago, they hung with the Chiefs in that game where Mahomes got banged up, I think.
They had that comeback win against the Chargers in round one.
Yes.
Right?
And then they played Kansas City in the second round to get to the AFC Championship game. And I want to say it was like 31-26, but it was something like that. It was a close enough game. I think at some point, the guy that does the podcast with Diana Rossini, Chase Daniel played. No, it wouldn't have been him. Who was their backup quarterback? Mahomes went out. That guy came in. Chad Henne. Chad Henne came in and played. Anyway, everyone's like, next year, the number one seed in the AFC.
You watch.
The Jacksonville Jaguars. The next team to knock off the Chiefs. It has been a disaster since then. Trevor Lawrence has regressed. Doug Peterson still wears visors and has that moppy hair that he has. That salt and pepper kind of bowl cut thing that he's got going on.
Very visory.
I don't know what that's about. The Jaguars are 2-6. They stink up the joint in the AFC South.
Remember, they were the Texans before the Texans. Right? So, like, they were everybody's darling. They've been bad post-Urban Meyer. This was going to be so much fun. And then they were 9-8, which was fine. But this is now a disaster. Somebody explain that for real.
And that is how the segment goes. Someone explain to me. If you've got something you need explained to you about the Commanders of the NFL, you can hit us up now. 800-636-1067. We'll get to some of those next. Plus, you referenced those silly geese Yankees fans ripping the glove of Mookie Betts off last night. We will discuss them and the big evening for Alex Ovechkin, now on pace this season to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record, when we continue on The Fan.
Not afraid to throw. Wide right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. So an out, one gone in this first. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Pries the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
Hopefully that'll be the last Yankees game he attends. Won't be allowed back in the stadium. I doubt that'll be the case. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. For those of you that didn't watch the World Series game last night, the Yankees beat the Dodgers. First win of the series. They're down 3-1. On to game five we go. I'm just excited there's more baseball this season. But the biggest storyline of the night was these two Hammond Eggers who were sitting in the front row acting like geese. Mookie Betts goes over to make a catch. Everyone wants to compare this to Steve Bartman or Jeffrey Mayer or the play the other night even, which is wild. We've had two of these, by the way, in the World Series.
Yeah, right.
But the difference is those plays, you had a fan reaching out over the surface of the play to get involved, grab a baseball, whatever. This was an actual catch made by Mookie Betts. The ball is in his glove. And this dummy grabs at his glove, pulls him in so he can't get away. He's wearing the glove. He literally can't pull away. And starts ripping the ball out of his glove. While he's doing this, Mookie Betts kind of reaches up with his other non-gloved hand, his throwing hand, and he's kind of reaching up as if to pull away, and the buddy of this dummy, who's just as dumb, grabs Mookie Betts' arm and hand and pulls him in. So they're now quite literally, I know this is going to sound like I'm wearing a, you know, my collared shirt and I'm tucked in with my belt, assaulting Mookie Betts.
Yep.
Like, you're not allowed to be grabbing this guy. You can't just walk up and grab someone who doesn't want you to grab them. That's not allowed. So they're just grabbing him by the arm, ripping at his glove, ripping the ball out. What in the hell is going on here? They get kicked out of the game, as they should have been kicked out of the game. I don't know what the punishment is beyond that guy can't go back to Yankee Stadium, but my annoyance is all of the fame that will come from this, that he'll be Mr. Yankee fan. He'll have his own podcast and his own blog and a book he puts out. And 20 years from now, we'll be hearing about Stupid Head, who was at the Yankees game, who ripped at Mookie Betts' glove, and he'll still be one of the fans synonymous with Yankees baseball, who's a hero within the fan base.
There's not a strict enough punishment on the table for me for this. Again, you can be forgiven. I can be annoyed, but you can be forgiven for the natural instinct of, I see a baseball coming towards me, I'm going to reach to catch it. That's a human response.
Happens.
Right? I will never forgive Jeffrey Mayer, and his celebrity annoys me to this day. Derek Jeter flew out to right. Let's all calm down. Anyway, this is a totally different situation beyond the pale. Beyond. These two goobers are sitting there telling the umpire, he crossed over, so it's fair. You could see these horses' asses reaching well past any kind of imaginary barrier or line, grabbing at the professional player. No, wrong. Not just a game five suspension, a game all suspension. You can never, ever, ever go to the game again, as far as I'm concerned. And there need to be fines. I think jail's probably too much, to be honest with you. Although I wouldn't mind him spending a few hours just so everybody knows that the amount that this is not okay. Like, again, there is an instinctive moment where you go, oh, I'll try to catch that ball. And then once you realize there's a player, they go, oh, my God, you got out of the way. The conscious action to then hold on to the person's glove, try to pry it open to reach in for the ball. His cohort, idiot 1A, then grabs Mookie Betts by the wrist. We're lucky there aren't any kind of injuries to report, any kind of lacerations or twisted whatevers. Insane to me that everyone's like, the Yankees are like, we take this very seriously. They can't come to game five. Right? We really put our foot down there. I put my foot somewhere else. And they wouldn't walk right. Wrong. Everything about this is so awful and so pathetic. And I'm pretty annoyed about all the things you are. But to me, my biggest annoyance right now, I'll get to where you are in a second. You've cut to the end. Good for you. My annoyance is, this is it. They're just walking around today going, you see what I did last night, bro? I was in the game. Oh, my God.
So I'm not even going to say the guy's name because I don't want to give him any oxygen.
You're here.
Right? But just know it's several syllables, and it's exact. It sounds like what you would, you know.
Like if you were to make up a name,
Mr.
it's that.
Mr. Bumbazzo, Yankees fan, right? So I'm going to, let's just say it's Capistrano, right? Mr. Capistrano. So this guy, Jesse Rogers, who I actually know a little bit, not personally, but I've covered, I've seen his coverage for years, and I like him. He covers the White Sox and the Cubs for ESPN.com, and he covers Major League Baseball when those teams get eliminated. And so he was at the World Series, I guess. But, like, he went and either found the guy or did a big story with the guy. And he wrote last night, meet, we'll call him Capistrano.
Meet Jackass. Okay?
The fan that interfered with Mookie. I was talking to him at a local bar when a bunch of other fans asked him to take a picture with him and for his autograph. He was a beaut. Story up soon at ESPN. And then they pull out, quote, if it's in our area, we're going to D up. First of all, I don't know what that means, okay? Second of all, I hate this person, okay? And I know, hate's a strong word. I shouldn't say that. He stinks. Third, stop doing this, reporter. Stop doing this. Rather than getting your 4,000 retweets and getting that story out there and having it go viral, and no. Stop giving this moron oxygen. Why do we do this? I don't understand why we can't all just agree. Let's all do a handshake and say, no one go find that guy and pretend like he's awesome. He's a beaut. No, he isn't. Did you miss the part where he grabbed the baseball player's glove? Did you miss the part where he, again, this, I know it sounds ridiculous. I'm sorry. Where they basically assaulted the baseball player? Are we allowed to, I mean, is this the same standard or no? NBA players stop the game and drag a referee over and point eight rows deep because some guy yelled, you suck, you know, whatever else. And sometimes they yell terrible things and they should be kicked out. But sometimes they're just giving them a hard time yelling at them. And LeBron goes, oh, this guy right here, this guy, he yelled at me. And so for 5 minutes, we all wait while LeBron gets the guy kicked out. And then they keep playing. Stupid Yankee fan grabbed a player. What would LeBron do? Oh, my God. If someone grabbed LeBron while he was playing and pulled him over the scorer's table and tried to rip the ball out of his hand, can you imagine? Thank God for Mookie Betts, who is awesome. I love Mookie Betts. I've always loved Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts last night said, I'm not going to give this guy what he wants. He will get no attention from me. I'm not going to perpetuate this whole narrative. Everybody wants to make this the deal of the night. This is about the Yankees and the Dodgers. That guy stinks. I want nothing to do with him. That's not what he actually said. That's
a translation,
yeah. But this was Mookie Betts postgame.
What happened with that fan? That foul ball.
It's irrelevant. We lost. It doesn't matter.
How is that man feeling? Because it kind of looked like, from our perspective, that your wrist kind of went a little bit backwards.
No, I didn't even know. He grabbed my hand, so no, it's perfectly fine.
Was that about as aggressive as you've seen fans in all your time in the game?
When it comes to the person in play, it doesn't matter. We lost. It's irrelevant. I'm fine. He's fine. Everything's cool. We lost the game, and that's what I'm kind of focused on. You got to turn the page and get ready for tomorrow.
Class act.
Mookie Betts, ladies and gentlemen.
Handled it better than I would have.
A better man than me, a better man than Joey from the Bronx, who grabbed him by the arm. Just a mensch and a class act, and one of the great players on the planet.
Yeah, he's a winner. I am not. I know I lost the game, and I would not have been able to contain myself.
If you
talking
yell
about that.
Yeah. That Russell Westbrook's a loser, he's going to come over and get into an exchange with you and then get someone to eject you from the stadium. Mookie Betts is grabbed by two guys and just goes, I don't want to talk about that.
I'm fine. He's fine. We got to play a game tomorrow.
I got to win a World Series tomorrow.
Good for you.
Love that guy. But also, the fan stinks. So do me a big favor. Don't watch the interview that's going to be done with him on 83 places. Don't buy the book that he's going to put out about the time I was the story at Yankee Stadium. Because if we just ignore these people, they'll go away. I don't know what Sons and Four guy is doing now, but he had his 15 minutes and then people stopped talking to him and he's gone now. We don't have to give these people oxygen to become stars.
It's such a good point. The interviewing him like he's a legitimate person.
How about that guy? He's a beaut.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No, he's not.
But journalist?
Let's not go up unless it's under the lens of, you were completely wrong and a horse's ass. Why'd you do that, horse's ass? And then if horse's ass has a response, you could quote horse's ass in the newspaper or whatever rag you're going to print it in. The legitimization of it is if it's a reasonable bit of behavior. Oh, that's hard to deal with. But again, I can't. Speaking of LeBron, I'm doing the LeBron gif where I'm like looking over at my teammate who just didn't make the pass, who was wide open. And I'm like doing like, why? I can't believe there's no stiffer punishment on the table. I can't believe nobody seems to want one or desire it. I can't believe people are just kind of going, yeah, that's right. He can't go to game five. Tough for that guy. Like, oh my God, more. There has to be some sort of, because that's like an even trade for that dude. You know, a year of notoriety, you know, months of not paying for a drink in the Bronx, wherever that idiot is from, to not get to go to game five to watch the Yanks lose. Like, yeah. I would make that trade for fame and come do my podcast on the Horse's Ass Radio Network. Like, I'm so annoyed about that part. Punish people that suck. Punish this person. Money changes hands. He's got to shovel manure. Something.
Welcome back to Horse's Ass on the Horse's Ass Radio Network.
The horse, this is the Horse's Ass Radio Network. Give you 10 seconds for you to, like, get out of my way because I'm going to D up.
D up. Sure.
It's the D Up podcast on the Horse's Ass Network.
We're going to D up here. You're in my area. You came toward my seat, Mookie. What do you want me to do?
But if the professional ball player comes in here, you know what's going to happen. You know, I already know what's going to happen.
Next time on the Horse's Ass Network, we'll show you how to eat a slice the right way. You don't put a napkin on it to get the grease on this network. You don't do that. You suck.
Suck.
You're the worst.
The worst.
Commander's Burner just tweeted.
Mm-hmm.
Not agreeing with his take. That's always my favorite. You always start with the, I'm not saying I agree with what he did. Bet you there's a butt coming.
Here it comes.
Bet you there's a butt coming. Here's my big butt.
There it is.
Not agreeing with this take. Hate the Yankees.
However.
but.
Oh,
Here's my big but.
I thought I called it.
Hey, he was locked in to help his team. It's not his job.
Nope.
His job is not to help the team.
Clap.
So, you know, if he really wanted to help his team, he would have just ran over Mookie Betts in the parking lot before the game. Then he couldn't have had any at-bats. I guess he didn't want to help his team enough, right? Just assaulting him in the outfield, not good enough. Why don't we run over Freddie Freeman to make sure that he doesn't hit a home run in this game? He's just trying to help the team. I just want to make sure we win the baseball match. Shut up. Stop grabbing people. Stop. Did you grab his glove?
Well, yeah, but...
Did you grab his arm?
Yeah, but I wanted to help...
Did you rip the ball out of his glove?
Well, sure, but...
You want to help the team?
Uh-huh.
This is how we've done it
for decades. Just like that.
This is how Grandpa did it. This is how Dad did it. This is how GP does it.
You take that right hand. You take that left
hand. You really help the team.
Yeah.
It's a big sequence, right? Two strikes, two balls.
What do I
do?
Yeah.
Helping the team.
You can clap and yell at the same time. That's a big deal.
See what I'm doing?
I did. That's
noise.
Dude, that's impressive.
Yes.
That feels like way more helpful than trying to assault a player.
You know what you don't do?
Huh?
Take a bat to her knee, Nancy Kerrigan. Helping the team. Her. What was the guy? Fat guy's
Jeff
name?
Galooly.
Jeff Galooly.
Jeff Galooly, bro.
Jeff Galooly. Well, look, I'm not a, you know, I am a Tonya Harding guy. I'm not a fan of Nancy's, but in fairness, he was just helping the team.
I wanted to help Tonya.
Get out of here. I am just so annoyed by all of the fame. It's coming.
Oh, of course it is.
Who does the what podcast is he on first?
It's a Barstool one. Inevitably.
I think my guys, because I listen to Pardon My Take all the time, mm-hmm. Big Cat and our guy, commenter from the area here. PFT commenter. I don't see it.
It's what it feels like to me. Not theirs, but like whatever the Yankee one is. Because everyone's got their own little individual.
I think John Boy will tell them to kiss their butt, I hope. I don't know. It's a good question. You'll see him, though. This guy covers the Cubs and the White Sox and is a radio reporter on the MLB. And he goes, read my story. Why he's not a...
That's what he's doing.
He doesn't sound like... But he might as well.
Might as well.
He's got his pom-poms out. This guy's a beaut. No, he isn't. You misspelled A... you get it.
Yeah, beautiful example of a horse's ass.
Right. Just the pits. Double play is next. We're giving away Caps Penguins tickets at the top of the hour. Our double play every day is driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. 10 minutes from now on Grant and Danny, when we start our Beltway Blitz, we will be giving away tickets to one of our callers to see the Caps and the Penguins.
Not a good night last night, Jeeps. Not a good night. Play pickleball in the morning. High-level pickleball game at the house. I'll refresh you. Robert came over. So did Dan and Cody. Best pickleball game we've had at the home court. I double-dipped like a 10-year-old on a Saturday. Had a second sports activity. Did the show with my friend Grant. Went home. Got all all my accoutrements on, you know, all the different sausage casings for my very flimsy musculature in the leg region. Played some pickup hoops. Ugly. Ugly. Bad, bad, bad night. Usually I'm able to come up with my stats. I didn't even post my stats from last night. It got so bad after like my 10th turnover.
This gives credence to my point that you only post your stats when you do well.
There is something to that. Honestly, because last night was so bad, I didn't post them because I stopped counting. I got so pissed, I stopped counting. So normally I'm really good at remembering exactly what happens because I'm very self-centered. And I like to remember what I did at all times and like, oh, how'd your team do? I don't really know, but I know that I did well or poorly or whatever. And I remember my numbers. I was 1 for a billion before I said, you know what? That's it. I'm not shooting anymore. Why don't I just, you know, dribble and pass to people? I couldn't even do that. Just awful. Just a terrible, terrible night. So not really sure where we go from here, to be honest with you. Next Tuesday, there's no game. There's some event going on in the country. So, like, we can't use the gym. Like, I don't even know what it is. And that's fine. But I agree with everyone, and I disagree with the people I'm supposed to disagree with. So, I don't know. Maybe I need a week off. Maybe I need some time to recover and recuperate.
Yeah, take a little break.
Did I go a little too close to the sun trying to do the two sports in one day? Was that foolish?
I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're 46.
45.
I mean, enough already. Now, I'm proud of you. You're active, and you're physically
trying,
like, working at it. But you pick one each day and you do that, right? That's what the commercial says, 60 minutes of activity a day. Play pickleball or play basketball. Or you could play both and just not care if you play well. But if your goal is if your goal is to play well and show well and post your stats and have a productive game and have people pat you on the back and tell you you're good at the end, then you may not want to play a couple hours of pickleball with the A team before the basketball
game. That's not the way to do it. Now, I don't remember who won every single pickleball game. It's not like it was my team. It was. But in terms of the basketball, like when you got to apologize to teammates in a pickup game, you know what I mean? Like, that's the level we're talking about here. This was a struggle. This was bad. That's on me. I'm not going to look at the film. We're just going to burn it. I think that's how we're going to do this. This is my...
Do the football guy thing, the Dan Quinn bit, where you actually take the whole team out to a field with a shovel. You shovel into the ground, and you quite literally take a roll of film and you throw it in the ground, and then you pour the dirt back on it. You got to bury the film.
I mean, that's where we are. If there actually was any video of this thing, I'd demand it be destroyed.
Wow.
Unless someone wanted to hold it over me and like blackmail me later on. I'd be like, dude, you did this. When it's like, for some reason, I'm never going to do this, but like if I did, if I was like 57, it's like, candidate Danny Ruye had a terrible night at pickup in 2024. And like, they would show footage of me like punting it off myself.
Like, I couldn't vote for this guy.
Like, can you trust this guy with his finger on the button?
It's time for my double play. Credit where it's due. Kevin Arlington about a week ago called in, said that I needed to watch This Is the Zodiac Speaking. It is a Netflix documentary on the Zodiac Killer many decades ago out west. I have watched two episodes. This is really high-end television.
Wheelhouse.
This is what Netflix is here to do. They are here to make documentaries. I still got a long way to go. There's been way too much good sports on. This is a tough time of year to get into a show. But it's all I think about is wanting to watch the next episode. Your boy's been busy. Mm-hmm. I went to Capital One Arena last night to watch Ovi score twice, watch Dylan McIlrath beat Rempe's butt, and to watch the Capitals hang five on the Rangers in a win.
I know you're there and you're focused. You're locked in. You're on. You were high up in the stands.
Yes,
like almost like you couldn't touch the glass.
Not important where I was sitting,
but fair. But from the glass, did that show cross your mind?
Absolutely.
It came like I know you're. I'm not saying you didn't care, but it's like just for a second you thought about it.
I was following the World Series on my phone from time to time, kind of scrolling, checking in, and the whole time though, I kept thinking like, is there going to be time when I get home after the World Series game ends to crank out one episode? And I was just a little bit too tired. I said, I don't want to not wake up, see the kids early in the morning before they get to school. Let's just get to bed, be responsible. But I watched the first two episodes this weekend. I haven't gotten back to it.
Mm.
There's been Monday Night Football. There's been NFL and World Series and hockey. And there's just something every single night right now. But this is the Zodiac Speaking. I feel good about the fact, because it's just the World Series tonight, I will watch another two episodes of this tonight probably. And I'll be over halfway home.
How many Buffies?
Actually, you know, as I look at this, it's only three episodes.
You're almost done.
So I wonder, it looks like maybe I'm at the beginning of episode two. So I probably am third of the way through, maybe a little more. Awesome, though. The thing that always blows my mind about some of the worst people that have ever lived in society and the terrible things they've done is how normal they can come off as to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first episode of this documentary, is that this guy was named, he was just the local neighbor who you saw at the pool, who came by to help your mom put things away that she couldn't reach, who helped, I'll take the kids today, and he would drive them to school. He was a teacher. He's like doing, I think they're called ciphers, you know, the things that he would send into the newspaper.
Yeah.
He was just teaching kids how to do those on the blackboard at school. Not part of his lesson, but obviously something he was fascinated by. But like, nobody knew. Still, after the fact, you can't believe it was him. Wild, man. But Netflix, keep doing this. True Crime Paulson says, keep doing this.
It is their wheelhouse. That Nobody Bleeps with Cats, the documentary about the... I'm blanking on all the names because there's so many good ones where like they ended up making like a quote-unquote funny movie out of it, and this thing wasn't funny at all, where the explosive device around somebody's neck. I mean, all these different things. You're just like... These are so incredible and jaw-dropping, and they make great documentaries.
My favorite ones are the ones I know a little bit about.
Uh-huh.
And then it's enough that you're interested and kind of, I remember that part. Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that, yeah.
And it's like, I have 15 to 25% of the story. Now they're going to give me the other 75%. This is in that category for me. Caps Penguins tickets, top of the hour, head of the Blitz, right here on The Fan.